Ken Forrester, Executive Director at Momenta. Welcome to our Digital Thread podcast, produced by, for, and about digital industry leaders. In this series of conversations, we capture insights from the best and brightest minds in digital industry. They're executives, entrepreneurs, advisors, and other thought leaders. What they have in common is, like our team at Momenta, they are deep industry operators. We hope you find these podcasts informative, and as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions. Good day and welcome to episode 225 of Momenta Digital Thread podcast series. I'm joined today by Doug Harp, who leads our advisory practice, and today we are greatly pleased to host Haran Badra, Senior Vice President of Strategy for Belden. Haran is part of the senior leadership team at Belden and has led strategy and technology over the past 2 years. In this role, he leads the transition plans for expanding the company from its core product-based position to a solution-focused one with a strong focus on core networking product technologies and data engineering capabilities. Prior to Belden, Haran was a senior partner in consulting organizations like Accenture and KPMG, focused on manufacturing and digital transformation. Haran, welcome to our Digital Thread podcast.
Hey, thanks, Ken. Nice to be here.
And nice to have you. And thank you, Doug, for recommending Haran. I think this will be a really good conversation on a very interesting company from my perspective, of course, and that's Belden. You know, we call this the Digital Thread podcast, so we always like to start off to really ask about what would you consider to be your digital thread? In other words, the thematic threads that define your digital industry journey.
Sure, Ken. So, you know, in about a couple of months, I will be finishing actually 25 years of my professional career. And when I look back and I think of the question you're asking, I see almost three arcs in which my professional development has taken place. The first arc, coming off the fact that I'm an engineer by training and also had the privilege of going to one of eminent business schools in India, a lot of the thinking was into what we call structured analysis, focusing on business problems, getting to understand why do assets, people, process perform the way they do. But to be truthful, in the early 2000s, even going into the later part of the decade, the focus was far less on technology. It was more about understanding the physical environment to be a successful consultant. And then, you know, around the 2008 onwards, going into 2012, I became deeply associated with IBM as an organization, Watson Development. And I completely got thrown into this whole world of digital and what data can do. In addition, what we used to get through an SAP or traditional enterprise systems. And that was a complete revelation to me. So my second arc, following that focus on core business assets and processes, was technology. And I'm actually quite grateful that I had the opportunity to be part of organizations like KPMG and Accenture, who themselves were not only creating strong partnership with technology organizations, they were also supporting leaders like me who probably didn't come from a technology past, but giving them the ramp to embrace technology. So that I'll say is the second arc. And now the third arc that I'm in, and I think I've got another at least a couple of decades to go as I think of my own professional life, it is about making this human. You can have data analytics, you can have the best technology platforms, you can have the best understanding of the business situation, but we need to make it human because, you know, almost two-thirds of digital initiatives are struggling for full realization because of the people factor. So being part of a corporate right now where I'm responsible for strategy with intent focus on technology, but being part of the technology team, leadership team, it really allows me to work with the rest of Belden and focus on how do we make this more easy to consume, easy to use. And I think that's where a lot of the focus right now. So in summary, a lot of business operations, a lot of technology focus in the second arc, and the third arc is combining them all in a human way.
Great. Thank you, Haran. This is Doug, by the way. Great to have you. And I'd like to go back. It's really interesting to hear about kind of the three arcs of your career. Maybe let's go back and dive into the 20 years that you spent in consulting and had companies like Anderson, Accenture, and KPMG, how did that really prepare you for where you're at now with Belden?
Yeah, excellent question, Doug. I think the first thing I need to feel grateful about is each of these organizations, you know, the so-called famous orange ball, Arthur Andersen, in the early 2000s, then KPMG, and then Accenture, of course. These are fantastic platforms for learning. Although, think of it, Arthur Andersen's legacy was with audit and tax, but they had huge emphasis built on business consulting. KPMG similarly had huge emphasis on audit, tax, but they had huge emphasis on business consulting. And none of the leaders in this organization kind of allowed the focus on people with curiosity on what is going on in the core business area. They allowed a lot of people to learn and embrace and build advisory practice. So these platforms, you know, when I started working with them, the advisory business often was less than 25% of the overall portfolio, but they were the highest growing businesses. So a lot of funding went into it to bring people like us with engineering background and using the relationships they had to solve critical business problems. So I'm very grateful that they all focused on creating businesses that was adjacent to what was core. Accenture is, and I still tell my colleagues today, and I still have Accenture as partner within my company, if you really want to learn technology, that is one of the finest organizations on the planet. And I'm very grateful for that experience because it completely opened my mind as to the whole possibility of technology. You know, these organizations also make you learn looking at the problem from what does it mean for the customer. And I think each of these organizations enshrined it from day one that you can have a great idea, you can have a great technology in play, you can have a fantastic story around how does it influence experience, but at the end of the day, is it creating value for the person or the customer that you have in mind? And being very, very value-driven about how we went about doing consulting, I will say is a common thread that stood across all these three organizations. And finally, these are also organizations that embraced partnership. They all quickly learned that the complexity of the problem that are out there to be solved by and the kind of trust that customers were placing on them needed strong partnership. So, Doug, even if I think of your organization, it kind of is enshrined in that, right? I've quickly realized that the kind of capabilities we need will never be always residing within the four walls of where I am. And that creates an openness to go and work with partners like you.
Great. Thank you, Ron.
Let me riff a little bit on your admiration for Accenture. I noted that you were managing director slash industry principal director for digital manufacturing. So an area that is near and dear to our heart. Let me ask, what were some of your most impactful engagements during that time?
Kind of break this into two parts. There's an internal engagement and there's an external engagement. The internal engagement is, you know, when I think back why I joined Accenture, besides the fact that, you know, pivoting to technology was a very conscious choice. Back then, and I'm talking about the 2016-2017 period of time, the concept of innovation in action, the concept of customer innovation centers, where you conceptualize creating a digital replica or even a hybrid, a digital and a physical asset replica in an innovation environment and bringing customers to it and having a dialogue on what's the art of the possible, I thought was a phenomenal internal engagement that I appreciate. I mean, think of it. I've been part of these design thinking sessions where the CXO of very large manufacturing organization, like $50 billion plus sizes, they have come in, spent 2 days sitting through in the middle of these innovation centers where they are looking at and the concept of digital twin was still early then, but thought process was very similar, saying, if we have a data replica of what we do day in day, and we can have technology interrogate that data replica, and we can get some insight, that will be so powerful. So I will say that whole innovation experience that Accenture had established was extremely helpful. And then, of course, you know, then you rotate and there are these specific engagements in which you apply yourself. The ones that clearly come on top of my mind is, and given my background, which is around asset performance management as a topic, manufacturing in globally and capital productivity as an issue is an extremely important topic for the discrete industry, for the process industry, for the oil and gas industry. And as much as it might sound a little contrary to what might be the popular perception, there are significant opportunities for improvement in capital productivity, even in North America. So as a team, we just dived into that problem. And, you know, whether it's in paper, cement, chemicals, steel, mines, which are the kind of category of industries we worked in, the issue is, how do you use data to improve capital productivity of the huge amount of trillions of dollars of assets that were deployed? And, you know, when I look back, I can proudly say that often we think of the overall equipment effectiveness as a metric. And, you know, there are many examples in each of these industries that we could move the needle by few percentage points of, you know, how the assets became more utilized, whether it's a shovel on the mine floor or it's a truck utilization, you know, traveling between distribution plants and the cement manufacturing sites, or the kiln in a cement company. All these real examples where we could apply that knowledge and move the needle. And from a business performance perspective, these means hundreds of millions of dollars. If you can make more chemical or more cement or guarantee quality, or, you know, you can utilize these fixed assets, you're not only creating a revenue base for the company, which is significantly higher. Of course, you're contributing the bottom line. But more importantly, you're become making the company capital efficient, because as they grow, now they're using lesser and lesser capital for the same amount of outcome. In our consulting language, we used to call it finding the hidden plant. And I think I can look back and proudly say we could find that hidden plant in many, many instances in a very successful way.
Fantastic, Haran. Yeah, I really like the aspect of value creation, focusing on value creation. And kind of as we move the conversation to drill down more on Belden, I guess, maybe talk to us about how you made the move from very strategic soft side services like Accenture over to Belden, which historically has been very, very strong in things like cabling, connectivity, and hardware. So, you know, what attracted you to that, and what is your remit overall at Belden?
So what attracted me was the relative size of the organization. And as you know, Belden is a sub-$5 billion enterprise, which actually is a strength in terms of the speed with which you can execute. But more importantly, if you really think through the company's core and you think of the opportunity out there, the potential of value creation within Belden is just hugely significant. It's just astronomical. So in pure, simple terms, you know, if this company, if the world has, let's take the GDP in about 60, 70, 80 or trillion dollars, Belden's contribution in GDP, global GDP, given its core, I think the potential in the next 5, 6, 7 years is to in multiples. And we will see what that multiple finally figures out. So it's essentially, it's a company with a very strong core. But what I was really fascinated by was, one, the leadership commitment and understanding that there was an opportunity to pivot the business model and create more value globally and for itself, of course. And more importantly, and this is where, right, and there was a clear acknowledgement that this is probably the kind of pivot that needed external talent. And, you know, as they, of course, went through their own selection process, I think what drew me to them was essentially this value creation potential. And what drew them to me was my background in the interface of technology, including networking and 5G work that I've done as part of the whole digital transformation, as well as the fact that this transformation from being product-oriented to both product and solution-oriented has also been part of the work that I've done in the past. So that's the kind of very strong marriage it's created. And I think that hypothesis has worked out very, very well.
Looking at some of your writings online, you talk a lot about network and data being important to digital transformation. I notice you coined the term you refer to as data hydration, which I think is an interesting term. Can you say a little bit more about this term and how this really powers digital transformation?
Sure, Ken. I mean, since the early stages of any work that I've done back in 2008 that we can even call remotely digital, and especially in the context of manufacturing environment and even in a smart building environment, the value of the network was so ubiquitous that people used to think that, hey, whatever data I need, of course it's available. All I need to is create pipes that'll essentially transfer the data from the point it's getting generated from the point where I need it to be. And hence, there was a huge rush of investment into cloud and into analytics. And this whole world of big data started. The need for data scientists exploded. The need for data engineers exploded. And people invested billions and billions of dollars in platforms with the simple assumption that with relative ease, we can make data move. And as long as we could find the data to reach its targeted destination, some magic models will crunch it, and we're going to create insights, and the world would be a far more productive place. Guess what? 15 years or more since then, it hasn't happened. And when people try to diagnose as to why is it so, our quality of analytics delivery has improved, the amount of computing power in cloud platforms has improved, why are models and change management struggling? You really go into the core and you realize that the assumption has always been that if a manufacturing process has a physical self in which things are working on, our current networks, our current technology infrastructure was built to essentially imitate that physical world into a digital world in a cloud environment. But it was not true, which means that, you know, and I use this term, it's a little technical term, but I think it's also self-intuitive, is the physics of the manufacturing process. If you have to imitate well in the digital world, the current technology infrastructure needs significant upgrading, and there is complexity. For example, we have, you know, we have historians, we have MES systems, which often sit between the sensor and the cloud. One of the first things the MES does, of course, for the right reasons, it averages data. So a signal can get generated in few milliseconds, if not lesser, but systems that are sitting in the middle, they average them, they smoothen them. And when they transfer that data into a cloud platform, guess what has happened? The actual physics of the process has got lost. Now, one might say that why can't analytics work on smoothened data? And this is where people have realized the reason it cannot be fully successful is because the insights that need you to manage the physics of the process lies actually in the jitters of the data that got smoothened. So it's just not important to know what was in general the average temperature of a cement kiln or a chemical plant or a boiler. it's important to know the fluctuations of that temperature around the average line, which creates insights. The moment this was realized, that we now need to create infrastructure that will essentially reflect the true physics of the manufacturing process in a computing platform, two things happened, Ken. One, network became the most important technology infrastructure for success of digital transformation. You need a pipe that will transfer high-frequency sensing data directly, safely, securely, and in an accurate manner. You cannot have a pipe that either cannot give you safety of IT and OT integration. You cannot have a pipe that averages physics. You cannot have a pipe that is not reliable, because the analytics platform needs reliability, it needs security, it needs clean data. It became important. And as IoT proliferated, it also became obvious that you need bigger and bigger pipes. And the concept of cloud computing became non-sustainable, because bigger pipes mean more money. It means more technology infrastructure cost. So now networks have become the only solution to provide clean, secure, and harmonized data. It has also become the only logical destination for edge computing, because you cannot take all data at the highest frequency reliably to a remote cloud. So these two confluence, this understanding that the role of the networks to provide data of this targeted quality and consistency and security, and the fact that we need to operate at the edge, has completely blown the lid of how people have started perceiving networks. And it's now concluded that you cannot have a digital twin successfully running in multiple sites of an industrial platform or multiple buildings in a smart infrastructure unless you've thought through the networking infrastructure that binds it.
Thanks, Haran. That's great. And I kind of think of what you a couple of questions ago, talking about the pivot that Belden's going through, and now talking about the data hydration and, you know, how do you truly connect the physics models with the data models? How have you, or where are you at on your journey of figuring out where you have the right to play and right to win, and where you're going to provide that value creation to the market, because your customers are going through their digital transformation, at the same time providing that back to Belden in terms of the digital change within Belden?
Yeah, Doug, that's a very important question. You know, at the highest level, we have broken the problem statement to what is needed in a brownfield setting and what is needed in a greenfield setting. The point that we are taking to the customers in the brownfield setting is that, let's say you are convinced about this whole aspect of transferring the physics of the manufacturing process to the point of compute, we have to come out with a solution to address the complexity of their current OT or operations technology environment, because I cannot go and say that my solution is you completely strip out everything you've got and replace it with new infrastructure. So the company is now focused on saying, for brownfield customers, multiple sites where solutions need to be deployed at scale, how can Belden partner and show that using software, using the intelligent products that we have got, in the world of actives, as we call it, and the fact that we completely are in the full portfolio of the path of the data from the signal to the, from the sensor to the cloud, how can our product portfolio, our product capabilities around the actives, plus software orchestration, can give them, again, from multiple points of data generation, can give them clean, secure, harmonized data without them needing to make any changes in their OT environment, or let's say, as much as possible, no changes in the OT environment, is the proposition. So they don't feel that they have a technology debt that they now need to replace again with some billions of dollars. So we work through their technology complexity to provide the data and the network reliability so that then they can focus on applications and end user adoption, which at a technical level means that we have to now become a platform organization, which means we need to be able to say, irrespective of the pipe the signal takes to go from its points of generation to edge or a remote cloud infrastructure, we will provide you the platform that will orchestrate that process, that will deal with the underlying OT complexity that you have to process. So which means that as a company, what the journey we have now initiated is not only going from being product to a solution organization, it's also about becoming a platform organization that will orchestrate the products, the software, and the services that come along with it.
Now, you've given me a great lead into probably what is certainly one of the key questions from my perspective. So you'll know Momenta Ventures are early investors behind Litmus. And I was certainly pleased to see you lead their Series B round in 2022. I think you've already pretty well answered it, but what was the rationale behind that deal?
Yeah, again, it goes back to this whole spirit that as you think of the full, I often call it data supply chain, you know, data hydration, let's say we talk about it. A typical manufacturing floor is projected by the leading investment bankers to have 20 times more sensing than what exists today. Even if you think it's going to be 10 times, people are using different kinds of capability to start measuring something. Oh, we didn't measure weather earlier, let's now start measuring weather. Oh, here is a very critical machine in the manufacturing plant, we were not calculating the ambient temperature earlier, let's start calculating it or measuring it right now. The sensing technologies are a complete proliferation of different kinds of protocols. Our manufacturing technology systems have multiple industrial systems out there. You walk into any manufacturing floor, it'll at least have 3, 4, if not 6 different industrial systems. The Litmus is about dealing with that complexity and trying to harmonize data, which comes from many, many different protocols, and how do we harmonize it? Which means if people in the manufacturing floor from a signal transmission technology are speaking Spanish, English, German, Hindi, Chinese, how do you harmonize them into a language, into all of them becoming English, as an example, and making it available? And of course, I'm presenting in a very simplistic way, but we essentially dipped into Litmus's legacy of having worked on it over many, many years. And what it helped us was essentially bring an extremely important capability, an acceleration into our own R&D process, where if you go back to my previous answer, we don't want people to change the number of PLC versions they have or the number of PLC manufacturing they have, PLC manufacturers they have. We are not the company saying, please change all your PLCs to Allen Bradley, or change all your MES systems to Aviva. We are saying that given the technology OT environment you've got, we will provide the harmonization of that complexity, and Litmus plays a very important role in addressing that capability.
Great. So we all know that with digital has come the concept of really powerful and value-creating ecosystems. And having worked with you, Haran, I know ecosystem play is a big part of Belden's value creation and go-to-market. Can you talk to us about how you are creating value with your partners or for your partners, with your partners, and also your ultimate end customers?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think back of the earlier part of the conversation, the two important highlights from my experience with them was remain completely focused on creating customer value. And the second is know that any one organization cannot have all the answers. to what is required in an end-to-end integrated solution. It's the same concept, Doug, that at the end of the day, we are trying to create more value in investments in digital transformation. And, you know, when we use terms like sensor to cloud, we have to decide what our core is and where do we need to partner. We have, as a strategy from an organization standpoint, we are very clear. We are the network and data infrastructure company, while any requirements on sensing, any requirements on cloud operations, we will create partnership. Similarly, even within the network and data infrastructure, we have acknowledged that the technologies like 5G, they're very critical for success in a hybrid environment where our specialization in wireline and wireless over Ethernet and Ethernet capabilities need to talk and integrate with 5G capabilities, which is again a portion of the whole infrastructure where we have decided to pursue ecosystem partnerships. So it's essentially taking the solution view to the customer, unpacking that into all the Lego blocks that are required to work in an integrated fashion, and having a very conscious strategy of where, which part of the Lego blocks will come from our factories and our balance sheet, and which are the other Lego blocks which are important for the customer solution, but they are not part of our core, but we need to be able to be integrated or capacity to integrate so that the customer value is not at risk. So ecosystem partnership, hence, is an extremely important part of our execution plan as well.
So this has been a great conversation. And, you know, I always like to, in closing, really talk about your own personal inspiration. So I'm asking, where do you find your personal inspiration? Books, recommendations, articles, podcasts, people, et cetera.
It sounds cliched, but often the inspiration you draw from kind of often changes a little over time. I remember I was enthralled by books like 1984, George Orwell to Kill a Mockingbird. But if I had to really think of a book and inspiration, the inspiration wise, like many Indians, Gandhi is in our genetic makeup. It's about patience. It's about remaining focused on the truth and not let your resolve kind of be impacted by a lot of noise that may be around you. So, and the Gandhian principles were enshrined in us within my family as I was growing up back in India. So the Gandhian spirit is very much what enshrines me. But, you know, recently, and I'm almost kind of finished reading a book, which is Oppenheimer. And the movie, of course, has become very popular. But when you read the book Oppenheimer, it just shows that, you know, how you see the power of technology in the physical world that operates. But then as even we are embracing AI and making an integral part of our platform development, how do we execute technology in a responsible manner is, I think, one of the critical tasks for a CTO of any organization going forward. How do you ensure that what we are building and what's its intersection with the human aspect of what we are building, I think is what will set aside organizations that will be called also ran or organizations that will be seen as truly innovative, is people who could bring the technology and the human factor in a very, very balanced manner. And that's why I thought I'll refer to Oppenheimer, not only because of recency, because it just brings to sharp focus how that balance is so critical for the world we live in.
Well said. First of all, I can understand much about you already based on the Gandhian aspect, and it certainly describes the Haran we've gotten to know during this podcast. Oppenheimer, the probably one of the quintessential moments in there is where the military leader says, oh, it's okay, we've got it from here. And yeah. I'm afraid sooner or later, we'll have one of those AI, we have it from here moments. So well said in there. So Haran, thank you for sharing this time and these great insights with us today.
Well, thank you, Ken. And on behalf of Belden, and even at a personal level, I'm very grateful and appreciate the opportunity to both you and Doug.
Thank you. Thanks, so much, Haran. And we appreciate you taking the time. So this has been Haran Bandra, Senior Vice President of Strategy at Belden. Thank you for listening, and please join us for the next episode of our Digital Thread podcast series. We wish you a momentous day. You've been listening to the Momenta Digital Thread podcast series. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion, and as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions. Please check our website at momenta.one for archived versions of podcasts, as well as resources to help with your digital industry journey. Thank you for listening.